But coming to this morning, I wanna speak on, and so I heard, by the way, that Anton did a great job last week. That's one thing I've heard from last week. And what I don't like from that encouragement is it seems like people say, please go away more often. That's what I'm hearing, is like, it's great when I'm not here. And so, but I heard that he shared a great message. And funny enough, I actually think that it probably, because we didn't really chat about, I gave him some recommendation, but he took his own angle on what he shared. I listened to a preach from another congregation of a couple of weeks back, which really impacted me, and I felt like, man, there's something prophetic in that for us as a church. I preached down the same line in Hartenbos without knowing, and then I get home in the afternoon, and I see Andrew shared a clip of Andrew that ministered something in the US, just about remaining in the fight, or when God tests us. I don't know if anyone listened to that message. By the way, great, really. But point is, it's like all these messages seems like they've very come like flow together actually, and I think sometimes there is like a sense that as a body, like, we are quite connected to one another. You know, we're not just here in Mossel Bay, but like as Josh Jen, throughout the world, we are actually very connected, and it feels like there's a prophetic encouragement from the Lord, actually a strengthening message which He wants to give us, and so I'm coming down the same vein this morning, and what I want to preach on is to remain in the fight. Remain in the fight. And I hope this morning that it'll be a sobering message for you, but also an encouraging message. Like that will be strengthened when you walked out here, not just like, now I really can't wait for holiday, but that will be there encouraging to remain with Jesus, you know? And so, you know, as much as I want to say, like, I think we're coming in for a rest time and we're all hanging on and just want to rest. And that's not a bad thing. I want to say rest is great. Okay, I'm a firm advocate for rest and holiday and family time. But during the rest, like, here's the one big thing that which I regret probably throughout much of my life. It's like holidays are the times where I mostly slipped away from God as well. And then when the new year starts, you're trying to play catch up with Jesus, you know. It's like, well, chutz, you know, where are you, God? And you're trying to get back. Because I had such like a holiday, I completely forgot about God as well in the process. Anyone, any honest people out there? That generally, that can be the trend. And, you know, and just as I was preparing, I felt like one thing that I want to encourage us is that one thing we cannot afford to do in rest time is to forget about God. There should be a louder amen to that, okay? We cannot neglect God. We cannot neglect our time with God. And I've heard this example recently, but one of the worst things as Christians we can do is to pretend that the devil doesn't exist. It's the worst strategy. And I'm going to give you an example. Imagine like a boxer that gets into a boxing ring and he tells himself, there's no opponent, there's no opponent, there's no opponent. And he gets in there and he blindfolds himself and he's like, I'm just going to stand here. And the other opponent just goes, bang, ba-bang, ba-bang. And it's like a target practice. Sometimes that's what Christians live like. Is they pretend like, I'm just going to pretend that the devil doesn't exist. The devil is on holiday too. Okay, yes, he's also tired. No, like, it's the worst strategy out there to pretend that he doesn't exist. And now, I'm a firm believer that God has overcome, that we are those who are victorious. I believe that. But a victory means that there was a battle. All right? And celebrating overcoming means that there was something that had to be overcome. And I want to, you know, read this for us. And the focus is not the devil this morning. I don't want to give him more credibility than what he deserves. But 1 Peter 5, Peter writes this. He says, be alert and of sober mind. I love the NIV. It says, be self-controlled and alert. How's that? Wowzers, never heard that translation. It says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking, looking for someone to devour. But then he says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, knowing that your family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And so he says here now that the picture we have for this is that the devil walks around like a lion. And I remember years ago, I had family that's a cool word. That sounds like I'm from Victoria all of a sudden. Formally, my mom and my pa. And my wife speaks like that, okay? So anyway, she's not here. She's from Kids Church. But they were farming in Northwest, and we went to a lion what do you call it, a lion place, like a lion farm. And my cousin says to me, Hannes, I'm going to walk past the lion fence, like nice and strong and upright, and then you come behind me and you go like you got hurt, okay? You just walk like this, and just check what happens, you know? And so he goes and he walks past the lion fence, like all strong, and they, man, there's like a bunch of them, but they're laying on the rocks, dossing, and like, it's like, man, I don't know, there's even like pieces of meat still laying around, and these things are inactive. And I come past like this, and I was probably grade 11 or something, so I'm like not the biggest guy around, and I walk like this, and it was within a second, all those lions were right up to the fence, and rah, and like I realized it was the most terrifying thing, like because if it wasn't for this fence, like I was breakfast, okay, and like all of them with these yellow eyes, within a second, up against the fence, growling, and even if I recovered my walk after that, they knew there's a weakness here. And they were coming for me. And I tell you, it is the picture of the devil. It seems like he is walking around, not laying in the sun dossing, okay? He's walking around looking for someone to devour. That's the picture we have of the devil. And the devil feasts on weakness. And he feasts on those who isolate themselves. It's his strength. And so this time of the year, you know, coming in and we're like, oh man, like I'm just so tired. Surely the devil will have some mercy. Surely he knows that I'm really tired and maybe he'll be kind to me. And I want to tell you, he knows, but he's not kind. And there's no mercy in him. And it's his food. He says, I'm waiting till you're tired. I'm waiting till you're under pressure. I'm waiting till you're burned out. I'm waiting till that new baby is born that is colic. I'm waiting till you're irritated. And I'm just waiting for you to drop your guard, and I'm there. That's his method. And for us to go and think like, maybe if I pretend that he's not real, nothing will happen to me. It is the worst strategy out there. And I've just seen this countless times in my own life and in the life of others, that is, when we're tired, that's the strategy we try and apply. But we get taken out so quickly, and a ton of regret and stuff to later on sort out gets added in a very quick moment, and it's like we start from scratch. Anyone felt that before? And I want to just qualify two things today before I continue with the message. And so, remember the title is Remaining in the Fight. Now, firstly, I want to say, and I'm expecting a very loud amen from Billy on this one, but I want to say that we are a church that believes in deliverance. Okay? And no amens from Billy, I'm quite surprised. Okay? We are a church that believes in deliverance, okay? I myself have been through deliverance multiple times. God had to set me free from demonic oppression. I have seen many of you in this room go through deliverance, amen, okay? I've heard stories of many people going through deliverance. And we are a church that if we see a demon, we're going to hunt it and we want to get it out. And I say this normally, it's like we don't believe that there's a demon behind every bush, but there's more bushes than you realize. And it's good for us to chase these things out. So I want you to know that. Okay? Any agreement on that point? Okay? We can settle on that one. I also want to say this on the other side, that there are times, and it's more rare than we think, but there are times when it comes to mental battles, that there are people who really battle with medical problems, and where the body doesn't produce what it has to produce, and where we are not a church that are against people going to doctors for help. Less amens there, but it's true, okay? And I have walked with people where we've actually encouraged them, I think you need to go back to the psychiatrist and have them look at this and try and analyze what we need to do here to help you, okay? It's not a lack of faith. There are medical problems sometimes. So we believe that. But here's the thing is, those are not our only two options. Those are not your only two options. And I'm concerned that especially in a season like now, we sometimes limit ourselves that these are my only two options. Either the devil needs to get away or I need to go see a doctor. And we pretend that the fight just isn't there. And I believe God wants to come and shine some light on that for us and say that's not your only two options that we have in walking with God. Amen? And a reason I'm sharing some of this is I found myself, it's been a very interesting month and a bit for me since I came back from America. And I said to Mariska that when I left for the States, I was doing well, man. I was in such a happy space, doing well with God, like the church is doing well. I'm happy, the family's doing well. Since I got back, it's been a struggle. I've been under the pump. Like there's been tests and nothing has happened. Like I mean, I shared with you some of the stuff that has happened, some of the fights that I've had. But it's not like I've shifted anything. I've just come back into a wrestle. And because I was tired, all of a sudden what I realized, the only prayer that I prayed to the Lord was, please make it stop. Make it stop. Please stop. That's what I've been praying. And I felt the Lord say, it's not going to stop. Like, as much as I pray, let this thing get away, devil get out of me, go away from me. And some of the Lord says, no. I'm actually going to train you. I'm going to train you. And I think the concern that I'm hearing is whenever there's a lot of us going through struggles, and these struggles are real. I want to say it's not like I'm having a bad day. Sometimes it's like we're in a season of pressure and real life pressure. And it's not a small thing. But I've been hearing too many requests. I just want it to end. And then we start looking for options how we can end it. Okay. Maybe I should move. Maybe I should move. Maybe it's the people I'm surrounding myself with. Maybe I should get away from them. It is them. It's definitely them. Yeah. Maybe it's the devil. And for once, the devil is like, I actually didn't have a part in this one, okay? It's like, it wasn't me. And we try and just get out the fight instead of learning how to grow strong. And so I want to, and please, Mariska, like after I preached this last week, Mariska said, have you listened to Andrew's messages yet? He basically preached what you preached. And I went to listen to it. I said, he preached what I preached on steroids, man. Like, I can't do that. So I'm not doing justice at all preaching into this morning as him. But I want to say it'll be really good to listen to that. I want to encourage us. But I want to encourage us with this. It's like... let me get to my notes here. Do not pray for the fight to end just, okay? Now, what is the name of our church? Anybody know? Joshua Generation Church. Now, I want to take you through a little bit of history here. So Moses was the guy that led the people out of slavery. Moses got the people out of bondage and through the Red Sea, and they're in the desert. And it's a picture for us of salvation. It's a picture of that we once were slaves. We had no choice. We had no option. And then God comes and he delivers us powerfully. And he takes us through the Red Sea, which is a picture of baptism. And I want to say, man, it is amazing that six people getting baptized next week. We celebrate that going from slavery into life with God, you should all be there, all right? We should be witnesses of those things. And we're going through it, and then we're in the desert, and then it's like the working out of our salvation process starts. Yeah? And then we get thank goodness we're not called the Moses Generation Church, which is like we just get out of slavery and then, this was in the desert. It's not who we are. We're called to be the Joshua generation that is going to take hold of what God has for us. Yes, he saved us, and we want to see many people get saved, but we want to inherit what God has for us. And then you see this picture with Joshua, that they walk around in the desert, and Joshua takes them through the Jordan and into the promised land. God has given it to them. They didn't earn it. God gave it. And this is picture. Jesus has done it. You can't earn it. Okay, but then there are these terrible verses where it says God had left some enemies behind for them that they had to learn how to fight. And if they didn't learn how to fight, it says the wild animals even would have become too much for them and it would have overpowered them. Now you see this picture where God would leave some enemies behind for you to learn how to fight. And he still does it today. And I want to read this even Judges 3. This is later again. It's after Canaan. We're in the time of the judges. But it says, these are the nations that the Lord left to test. Can you imagine that God can test you? God does it. He comes to test and see, he says, I've heard that you've been preaching about overcoming. I've heard that you've been speaking to people about your faith. I've heard that you told people how much you rely on me. Let's test that. That's what he does. I want to say it's a terrifying thing being a preacher. It really is. Like, for me, that's why I've been preaching less lately, by the way. As I'm in it, okay? It's yes, I want to play the team, but I also said, God, I want to make sure that when I preach stuff, I live it. I walk it. I know it. It's not just something that I conjure up. It's like I wanna. It must be real, because I tell you, every time after I preach a thing, it's there. Last night before I preach a thing, the test is there. It's real. Yeah. And so God leaves these nations behind to test us. And this is all the Israelites who hadn't experienced any wars in Canaan. Yeah. To all those Israelites who hadn't experienced wars in Canaan, it says he did this to only teach them warfare to the descendants of Israel who hadn't had any previous battle experience. And we see this picture where God actually leaves his people and says, now I'm going to train you to fight. I'm going to train you to fight. And then you get the older men, and this is not in age, but those who's walked with God and have been through stuff, who says, I'm going to teach you how to fight. You know, one of the greatest gifts for me this year, with Jeff coming in, and I'm not throwing sugar to the birds here, né? But with Jeff coming in, even that night, I'm running out of my notes now, but when I face some of the stuff I'm facing now, and I would go to Jeff, I says, Jeff, I just want you to pray with me. This is what's happening, and I feel so alone. I feel so alone. And Jeff just says, oh, I've seen this before. It's happened to me here, here, and here. And this is what the Lord has done here, here, and here. And he teaches me how to fight. It's a man who has seen war and experienced war, and he says, let me help you. Let me train your hands for battle. It's God's gift to me, actually. And the older men teaching the younger men to fight in the spirit. You're a great gift to me, Jeff, by the way. But that's part of what God does with us. And now you can pray. Here's a problem. You can pray, I resist the devil. I chase the devil away. I get away from me, devil. And I see God holding you there, yeah, in the test. But the devil is also looking for opportunity. That's the problem. Yeah. And so I'm so far off my notes here now. I need to get back into this. But I want to ask you, who of you recently, in the last couple of months, have faced some battles which you thought you have overcome a long time ago, and suddenly it's like they're back, and you're getting retested on some of the stuff that you thought you overcame many years ago? Let's lift our hands. Let's lift our hands here. And I want you to look around. Hold your hand up. I want you to look around. You're not alone. You're not alone. I want to say, in the last month and a half, I've faced battles which I thought was dead. And suddenly it's there. And I initially went like, have I slipped back into all these things? Have I regressed? No, actually I've come forward. The door maybe has become narrower for me in some of those things, but I'm tested again on it's like the devil uses the same trick and he wants to come and test what's there. And God is saying, overcome, win the fight, learn how to come through this, don't fall. You know, God tests us to see us pass the test. The devil tempts to see us fall. And it's like there's this in every test, there's this wrestle going on. But I want to say, guys, just if you looked around, you see like how many of you felt alone in what you're fighting. Yeah. I want you to know that look to your brothers, and it's not only in this congregation, but in so many of us, it's like the God and the devil is there to see what is in here. Yeah. I want to urge you, pass your test, remain in the fight. Don't make us if the devil isn't there. All right. And how am I doing for time here? Okay. Need to learn. But just a couple of things I want to bring to us. John 16:33, and I've quoted this many times for us, but Jesus says this. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And again, I want to remind us, just the last month, God has been quite strategic with us, setting us up to where we now. Villy starting to preach on keeping your peace. Some of those things that came out of it, I remember one of the things that stood out for me was when I preached about the name of the Lord, that is a strong tower for us that we can run to. Jesus saying, don't look for peace, look for me. Anybody remember that? He's been prepping us. And now he says, I've taught you these things so that in me you'll find peace. Not in something else, not in moving away, not in a holiday, not in ending the fight. It's in me that you'll find peace. And then he says, in this world, you have trouble. This is your peace encouragement, by the way. In this world, you have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome. That's what he says. Be confident that you will face trouble. Don't be caught off guard. Don't be surprised. Don't be like, wow, what have I done to deserve this? Okay? Why does a good God let bad things happen to me? Once you go there, you're like, what? Man, you will have trouble. Nah. But take heart, it's overcome. And then James, and I'm not going to go into all the details of this, but James then writes to the persecuted church. And they were under severe pressure. All their leaders are getting killed, okay? So imagine the next week, bam, I'm just not here, okay? And someone else stands up and he says, consider it pure joy. Hannes is gone. I'm joking, okay? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, okay? When you face trials of many kinds, not if, when, it's coming. Take heart, it's coming. But when you face it, take heart, okay? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. How's that? And I just want to look at that this morning. You know, I was praying for this morning, I felt the Lord remind me of a story. And some time ago, I've gone through a really hectic time. I just felt out of my depth. And I remember there was this, I think it's probably mostly in church, but I think it can happen with you sometimes in the workplace, in the family as well. But there was just a time where there was a lot of noise and a lot of strain and a lot of pressure. And I've heard all sorts of things about me, which is like, you know, I don't know, I could be this bad, you know. And so there's just a lot of stuff that I was hearing. And it felt like, you know, I'm quite a front-footed leader, if you know me. I like to move. I don't like to, like, this is probably Mariska and I's biggest struggle. She, like, I just make a choice. Do something. Yeah? Like I like to make decisions, okay? But I remember at some time, like, I was becoming so uncertain that it felt like the picture that I had, it's like I was in a room full of glassware, precious ware, okay? Like, I remember I was in Russia once in the Hermitage, which is like this place just with all precious stuff, and suddenly the light just went out. And it felt like whatever move I made, I just heard ka-ching, ka-ching. And I don't know if any of you felt like that before, but I became so uncertain of myself. Like, I didn't want to touch a thing because it felt like if I did something, I just heard stuff break. It was a terrifying time, really. It was like, it was probably the most horrific time of my life. And I felt so alone. And I remember just, there was one day where I was sitting with the Lord, and I remember there was a time where I felt the Lord actually remind me of the day that He told me to position myself under Andrew and give my heart to this man and be with him. And it came out of Ruth 1:9, where Ruth said to Boaz, she says, you know, where you go, I'll go, and where you stay, I'll stay. Your God will become my God, and your people will become my people. And I felt the Lord say to me, this should be your posture towards this man, that you want to learn the God of Andrew. I want to get to know Him. And His people will become mine. I'll shepherd them like they're my own, but I'm doing it, you know, for Him and for God. And this is where He sends me, I'll go. Where He stays, I'll stay. And I've given myself to that man. And I tell you, I'm in this trouble season and just everything is going wrong. And I remember crying out to the Lord the one day. I said, God, where are the people that will give themselves to me like that? Like, I feel like I'm trying here, God, but it just feels like everything's breaking. Where are they, God? A silent prayer, but I'm praying this to the Lord. And nobody knew about that day. It was only me and Andrew, and I told my wife, but this is between me and God. The next day, we finished one of our gatherings, but I'm shattered, eh? Like, I'm exhausted. I've got zero energy for life left. And we were at the farmer's market across there from Eden Gemeente after a gathering. And I get a video on my phone, and it's someone that joined us. And they send this video. It says, man, we just want to tell you, this was our first gathering, and our minds are blown. And I just want to tell you, I thought the Lord says, your God will become my God, and your people will become my people. Where you go, I'll go, and where you stay, I'll stay. Hannes, we are yours. Man, I sat there, I tell you, I wept, and I wept, and I wept, and I said, God, you knew. This is only you. This is only you. And you know, I felt actually in that moment, I felt the season turn. Poof. It shifted. And suddenly, actually for like, it was like, not that it wasn't there, but suddenly it just became the reality that I says there's many here that have given themselves to us like that. It wasn't that everything is just breaking in the moment, but it was a time of testing. It was a time of purifying. God, I want to say, He pushed me right till the end and probably past the edge. And he held me up like over the edge like that, okay? To see what is in there. To test the faith. To see the perseverance. And he produced perseverance in me. Yeah? And then you think, yeah, that's lekker. Now we come through it. Yeah? And then just as you come back from America, there's another season of testing. Nee. And I tell you, like even with that, yes, I need to land this thing. But even with that demonic thing there, that when Jeff prayed me, it definitely left. But I want to say there's been enough moments where it actually wanted to come back. And I felt that I want to ask God, just take this thing from me, man. Like I'm done with this thing. And I actually felt the Lord say to me, honest, I'm training you to fight. I'm training you to fight. And the couple of things that I actually felt I want to highlight for us this morning. Sorry, I'm a little bit all over the place here. But I felt there's some of you here that has really been wrestling depression thoughts. Yeah. And I'm not someone that's ever battled with mental illness to the point where I have to go into medication, okay? But I've had my fair wrestle of wrestling in my mind. Yeah. And actually, there's times where I can feel it lift, and then there's times where I really struggle. I'm just being honest with you guys. I said to the guys, I would sometimes have full-on elders meetings in my own head, and for 2 hours. And I would like try and solve world peace, and then they end like I'm ending up in a dungeon. That's like, so that's if I let my mind run, that's where I can go. Yeah? And there's times, and it happens especially at night, as soon as I get into bed. So anyone else out there? Yeah? And there's sometimes where I reason stuff through, but there's other times where I actually have to say to my mind, you need to be quiet right now. Like, and I say to myself, Hannes, you can't think like this any longer. You need to sleep now, because this is unhelpful for you. This is not godly. I train my mind. You cannot do this any longer. Ne? And if I struggle to switch it off, I made this joke last week. I'll do it again because he will say it about me for sure. I put on a preach from Mike Davies and I fall asleep instantly. I'm joking. He said stuff about me like that in the past. I'm just getting him back. Mike, if you're listening to this, that's for you. And I just put it in and I'm instantly asleep, okay? No, I'm just joking. But I'll sometimes put on a preach or a podcast and I'll fall asleep. But I train my mind to switch off of stuff. And I can't do that every night. I actually have to teach my mind. But there's times where I grow into these things to say, you cannot think like this any longer now. Like get with God. And don't allow these thought patterns to go on. I'm training my mind. You guys still right? So depression thoughts. I really felt some of you are wrestling with that thing. Né? I felt for men, yeah, and I actually felt specifically, this is not for young men, but I felt for married men. Watch out for this lust demon in December. Can we just be real in the church for a second here? Okay? You better watch out for that thing, guys. Like, I feel for many, even married men, like, even if you've overcome this thing in the past, it'll be dumb for you to go on the beach every day walking around like this. Let's just be frank, yeah? Okay? And don't allow the enemy to come and sift you on that thing again. Be wise. Be wise. All right? I've had some others here that I just want to find. I felt the isolation one. I mentioned earlier with the devil seeking someone that's isolated. Don't isolate yourself here. This is the time for us to actually press into one another. Like a couple of things that I had to do this time while fighting is I had to make sure that I was very transparent towards my wife and towards those that I walk with. And it was very open. I said, this is what I'm facing. This is what I'm wrestling. This is where I am. This is what was hard for me. This is what I'm being tempted with. This is what I'm being tested on. I made sure that I don't get isolated and withdraw, because then I'm an easy target. I pulled myself towards the people of God. Pull yourself towards the people of God. Don't rest from the Lord and don't rest from His church. All right? Very few amens there, but we'll take it. And, you know, just even in God testing us, I think, you know, it says that Jesus was tested in the desert. Yeah? He was tempted in the desert. And then after the devil tempted him, it says that he left him to come for a more opportune time to check again. And I don't want us to create opportune times for the devil to come and test us. And one of the things I think which he finds, and I'm coming in for a landing with this, but a couple of things that the devil loves to use is busyness. Busyness. He wears us out, and he makes you busy, isolates you, wears you out, and then he comes. Yeah? And watch out for the thing. I know that all of us are busy, and if you speak to anyone, it's like a competition. Everyone tries to be busier than the other person. Guys, be wise. You know, steward your time. Like, even if we're busy, like, I love there's some guys here who really work hard, but you don't ever hear them tell you how busy they are. It's a tool. Like, I try and do that. There's sometimes we can say I'm under a lot of pressure, I'm being very productive, but busyness separates us from one another. Yeah? And don't allow the devil to do that with us, all right? And I want to... And one thing, what the devil loves to do with busyness is the moment that he can get you to drop your intimacy with God, you're in trouble. Yeah. And I love that Jeff started this morning with that. He says, it is good for us in the morning to go to the Lord and be strengthened in his love. Friends, I want to say, I think it was Wigglesworth that said this. He says, if I've got a busy day, I get up at 5. If I've got a very busy day, I get up at 4. Because I need more time with God than less. It's like this, the first thing that goes out the door is not like, oh, my time with God, I don't have time for that. No, you need it more than anything. I want to encourage you this holiday, make sure that you get to the Lord. Lord, be fresh with him. Be full of him. Don't forsake that. If you drop that, God, we're in trouble. And I actually want to encourage you, your tools this holiday, and I'm speaking to the married people especially here, is intimacy with the Lord and intimacy with one another. It's a weapon God has given us. Use it, man. Like, don't drop that. And I'm not just talking about physical intimacy. I'm body, soul, spirit. Be open. Be close to one another. Work for that thing. Fight for it. But those are your weapons God has given you to resist the enemy. Amen. I'll take it. Okay. And so, just how you can fight. And I'm just going to scan through some of these so that we can land. But I want to say, friends, don't run on yesterday's bread. Okay? Don't try and run on yesterday's revelation. You can't run with God on what you heard 2 years ago. It's good, but you need fresh bread. And I love this, when Jesus was being tempted, and we always quote this, but it says, it is written. Now, it is written should always be bigger than I feel. All right? It should always be bigger than I feel. But then it says, it is written that man shall not live of bread alone, but every word of God that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so it is not just that you should know scripture and be able to quote it to the devil whenever he comes. You see, it should be real. It should proceed from the mouth of God. There should be faith to it. You're not playing Bible trivia with the devil. Okay. Well, you say that and I say this. You say that and I say that. That's not the point. It should be, is there faith in what you're saying? It's like, no. God said, he will never test me beyond what I can bear. He can carry me. God said, and we believe these things. God said that he's a strong tower for me. I can run to him. I love this morning how we started in worship. We were all a little bit flat this morning. We just started. It's like, you are good. You are good. You are good. I've got a million reasons to praise. I'll praise when I'm down. I'll praise when I'm high. I'll praise when I feel like it and when I don't. I'll praise. And it's like we instruct our bodies. It is written. It is written. This is what I'll do. Friends, that should be your food. You should live off every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Read your Bible. And pray it. Don't think you can drop the thing. You're not that strong. Some of you should hear that. Okay. I wanna say, watch out for offense. Yeah. This time when we're tired, you know, when I'm full of God, it takes a lot to offend me. Yeah. It's like most of the stuff just washes off me. But when I'm dry, yeah, you just have to look funny at me and drive past me without waving. Yeah. And I'm like, I get it geweet. And that's all you need. And there the thing starts. And the next Sunday you walk into church, it's like, this church, nobody loves in this church. Who of you felt those voices come? Be honest here, okay? Two honest people, okay? That's very jammer. But it's his tool. It's his weapon. And all he needs is, he just needs a shadow. And that's what he did right with Adam and Eve. And he's like, did God really say? That's all he needs. It's like, is this really what they say? And suddenly we're like, whoop, that shadow comes up. We isolate and you're an open target. Friends, I want to say, you need to be quick in the season to forgive, to believe the best, to not allow anything into your heart. We cannot afford the devil to separate us from one another. You fight that thing. You fight that thing. I want to say, even in your marriage, guys, like, I'll be honest, my wife's not here. Oh, she was somewhere at the back now. I just saw her. The last couple of weeks, we've been hucking more than regularly, okay? But and it sucks, but we're working. We can't, like, we've been going to bed late sometimes, but we can't sleep on the sun and our anger, okay? We work on that thing to make sure we cannot afford anything to get into here. We're going to contend for one another. Even if it's hard, we're going to find one another, and we work at it. We've even fought in front of some other people that they can see, and we like, help us here, okay? And I'm just being real with you, okay? But we worked at the thing, says we cannot open this door for this thing to come in. We are going to have to find one another. And I want to say, spouses, make sure that you do that. Don't create compartmentalized marriages. So I'm going to land, and but the point of today, really, if you want to sift through all of us, it was a very all over the preach. Okay? I changed half my preach this morning. I think that's what came out to Demacar. But the aim of today is I want to say that I believe that when we are under pressure, I want to encourage you, don't just blame the devil, okay? And don't just blame whatever you can find. But there are times where God trains our hands for war. And we're actually going to say like Paul, where Paul says, I begged him three times to take this thing from me. He said, Paul said it was like a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan. We actually believe, most theologians, I believe this, that it was a demonic thing that was there assigned by God to torment Paul. He's like, God, that is the most unfair thing. He's the most holy man in the New Testament, if you want to see it like that. Okay, it's like, why? And God says, because he's going to learn when he's weak, I'm strong. And he's doing the, Paul also said this, he did that to teach me that I don't become conceited. He's training me to not become proud. And there's times where God keeps us under the pump that he's saying to us, even when it's going well, I'm going to train you to not become arrogant. And I'm going to train you that all your wins in life, it's me. But I'm going to train you to resist. I'm going to train you to resist. I'm going to train you to resist. Don't give the devil an opportune time to come and tempt you. Don't open that door. Don't give into it. Don't fall, but stand. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. As Jameson says, you know, perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And that really is the aim for us, is to grow into mature manhood, where God says, I don't want to go back to milk the whole time. Learn to become mature. And let the work be complete, that you don't lack anything. He's learning us to stand. And I know at this time of the year, the last thing we want to hear is like, oh, let's learn something. But friends, I want to say, these are the times that if we can learn to go through the tiredness, through the weariness, and I'm not saying don't take a holiday. But I'm saying don't take a holiday from the Lord. You just learn how to remain in God. Learn to be fresh in God. Learn to value the things that God values. Learn to value His Word. Learn to eat of it. And you'll stand. And next year when things come again, suddenly look, like, this thing last year would have killed me, but this year I'm standing. God has actually produced perseverance in me. It's His aim for us. His aim is to mature us. It's God. Amen? Why don't we stand together? Was that helpful for us? Sean, thank you. You don't need to clap hands, but thank you. I don't think I've ever had a clap of hands for a preach. That's great. But the aim, friends, I want to... I know I rushed you towards the end, but this is real life stuff, and I don't want to make light of whatever we're facing. I know that there's sometimes really, really difficult things that we're facing that is putting a lot of pressure on, but I just want to say that God is able. God is able to carry us through and to complete the work that He started in us. Don't short-circuit the work. Remain with God. Remain in Him. John 15 says, remain in me and I will remain in you.